In this episode, I'm going to share with you the four-step process that I use to launch a business. I first used this in 2020, right in the heart of the pandemic, to launch a cleaning business. And we went from zero clients, zero cleaning experience, to over $50,000 a month in that business. And we've used this on multiple other businesses along the way. And so I'm going to share with you the four strategies. I'm going to share with you how to evaluate a business. I'm going to show you how to experiment. I'm going to show you how to optimize. I'm going to show you how to hand it off. So this episode is so freaking good. And so if you like what you're hearing, please go rate this podcast, share it with an entrepreneur. Without further ado, let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to the Everything Goes My Way podcast with your host, Logan Manzanettis. So last night, I did another free Zoom on the Business Intelligence Sheet. And so that was one of my most popular podcasts. If you haven't gone and listened to that podcast, go back and listen to it. It's popular for a reason. It's really, really good. We talk a lot about numbers and how to basically be able to see the vitals of your numbers by literally using this intelligence sheet. But after we got through the intelligence sheet and I showed them the original intelligence sheet, I showed them how we use it today on our current business. We got a little bit of Q&A, and somebody in the Q&A asked a really good question. And they said, hey, like, what do you think I should do? Do you think I should start a business or do you think I should buy a business? Right. And I went down a nice little rabbit hole on explaining both sides of it. But ultimately, I want to talk a little bit about today on how to actually launch a business. And a lot of times people think about launching a business as this huge, monumental thing that if they commit to it, they're going to have to spend the rest of their life on it. And what if it doesn't work out? And will they waste all this time? And so I'm actually going to share with you this moment where I had this epiphany. And I learned actually how to start a business and how to actually test it to see if it actually makes sense for me to continue with it or me just to throw it in the trash. And so it was October 2020, and we had just invested in a mentorship with Chris Krohn, and we'd spent over six figures to be in this mentorship, and we were at a business mastermind in Las Vegas. And so that was like the heart of COVID, and like being in Vegas in October 2020 was like really weird and dreary, and like there wasn't a lot of people there, and we were staying at the Wynn, and then like it was like eerily quiet. So that part was really like unique, but the experience is really cool because we did really cool things. Although even though a lot of Vegas was closed, most of it was still open. And so we like jumped off the stratosphere. We went and raced exotic sports cars. We ate at five-star restaurants. That's what we did kind of like in the fun time of the day, but, or like in the nighttime. But during the day we learned business and we got down on lots of business fundamentals and techniques. And we had a workbook that we went through, and it was in that one of those classroom sessions that I learned this four-step process on actually how to launch a successful business. So if you ever have thought about launching a business, or if you're like, man, I have this idea for a business, I'm gonna give you a four-step launch sequence on how you actually can test the business first before you actually decide to follow through with it. So let's dive in again. If you don't have a pen and pad, now is your time. So let's talk about phase number one. So phase number one of this four-step launch sequence is we need to evaluate the business, okay? And so evaluating the business comes down to three things. We need to know marketing, sales, and fulfillment, right? And from the marketing standpoint, does the business have a way to acquire an endless supply of leads? That's what we want to know first off, right? Does it actually people out there who want the service? Or are you trying to create something that nobody wants? Doesn't matter how good everything else is, ain't nobody going to buy it. Second step, does this business have a product or service in high demand? This goes back to selling. Do people want to buy it? Okay. Third thing, the fulfillment. Does the business have a platform offering that can be delivered at a price that maintains a healthy margin? Okay. So can you actually create a product that can become profitable, right? We don't want to start a hobby. We want to start a business. And so these are the three fundamentals of a business when you're looking at how to evaluate a business. And so based on these three things, I want you to start to think about what are some businesses that meet these first three criteria, right? And start putting them down on a piece of paper. So here's what me and my wife did after we went to this mastermind. Actually, it was the last. So the mastermind had ended. We stayed for an extra day in Vegas. And me and my wife, we laid there on the floor. We closed our eyes and we started dreaming about all the businesses that we wanted to start, that we could do, that we thought we had value to, that we had skills in, that we could already do. And we started to come up with all these ideas, and we literally jotted them down all on a big piece of paper. She had her list, I had my list, and then after we had our list, we scratched out the ones that were duplicates, and we just made one long list of businesses that we both had. Now, the second step, how do we take this big list and how do we start to narrow it down? So next thing we did is we took the five standards for selecting a business. Okay. The five standards, I actually made a whole nother podcast on this. It's literally called the five standards to creating a business. Again, go watch that podcast or excuse me, go listen to that podcast. And I'll go into detail on these five things I'm about to share with you. But the first one is profit margin. It's got to have at least a 25% profit margin. The second thing is, does it have abundance of leads? Third thing, is it simplistic? Fourth thing, is it delegatable? And fifth thing, does it have the proper passion? And so I'm not going to go into details on those right now because I did that in a previous podcast. So go listen to that podcast if you haven't already. But based on those five business standards, we started to cross things out that didn't make sense, right? And lo and behold, most of the business we put on there, they didn't make sense. And we ended up getting to our final three. Our final three was a Airbnb arbitrage business. The next one was I don't know if you call it a digital marketing business, but it's basically like us generating leads for like contractors and for handymen and for other people out there who are like in the construction service industry that tend to not be very good marketers. Like we could generate leads for them and then we could JV with them. And then the third one was a residential cleaning business. And so after we chat about it and we looked at it a little bit more closely, we decided to go with a residential cleaning business. And so we started that cleaning business literally before we even left Vegas in October 2020. We had started that process and we decided we were going to create a cleaning business. So once we got through phase one, which was the evaluate process, we moved into phase two. So phase two was experimentation, okay? And so for the experiment phase, what we did is we selected a revenue goal, okay? We selected a revenue goal that we believed we could hit in that first 30 days, okay? And that revenue goal, I thought we could do around like $6,000 or $7,000 of revenue that very first 30 days, okay? And so our goal was that we're gonna shoot for that goal. And depending on how close we got to it was going to dictate whether we continue to pursue the goal or not, right? And so for example, if we said that we could hit, you know, $7,000-$8,000, but we only hit $2,000, well, maybe our skill sets don't quite line up with what we thought this business could do, right? Or maybe there was bigger problems with generating leads or the sales process wasn't as easy as we thought it was. So these are all things why it wouldn't have worked. But we end up selling, if you go back and look at my sheet, I think we end up selling like $45,000 or $5,000 in our first month. So we came up a little bit short of what our revenue goal was, but we also had enough momentum and enough proof of concept, like, okay, like this is something that's worth pursuing going further. And so just because we set an artificial goal of $8,000 doesn't mean that it was a failure. It's just like we set a goal that was a little bit higher than we thought it was that we could do in the first 30 days. But after doing it for 30 days, we're like, okay, this is a business that we want to pursue further. And so after the experimentation phase, we moved on to phase number three. Now, before we move on to phase number three, like a lot of businesses should die in that experimentation phase. Like if you find out that there's a lot of things that you don't know until you actually go out there and you take action. And if there's some things that don't align with your purpose and your goals and what you thought the business did, like by all means, kill the business. That's what the first 30 days is for. It's not just revenue. It's like, do you see yourself being in this business for a long time? Because what's the point of creating a business that you're going to do for 6 months or a year and then you're going to shut it down? So once you decide that you're going to move on from phase number two, which is the experiment phase, onto phase number three, which is the optimize phase. Okay. And so the optimize phase is your 90-day period to identify three things. You're going to identify KPIs, you're going to identify critical drivers, and you're going to start to create SOPs, which is called standard operating procedures. And you're going to do that for each fundamental of your business, which is marketing, sales, and fulfillment. Okay. So let me tell you a little story. But before I talk about KPIs, critical drivers, and SOPs, again, I share with you a 90-day, that you do this over 90 days. Well, when we created this business in October of 2020, we had actually made a plan to go live down in Austin, Texas for the entire month of December. Okay, we decided to go down there because we wanted to run away from winter here in Montana, and we wanted to hang out with some of our friend tours. Dr. Trevor Cashy and his wife Desiree, and then Alex and Layla Hermosi. So we wanted to go down there and hang out with them for the month of December. And so we didn't have 90 days to do what I'm about to tell you. So I'm giving you 90 days as a conservative number, but you can definitely do this a lot faster. And so because we only had 6 weeks, we did this all in 6 weeks, and we had it outsourced. We had somebody who actually did all the cleaning and somebody who was doing the sales for us all within 6 weeks. But I'm going to share with you a more conservative approach, but just let you know that you can do it much faster. If you're the type of person who's like, I could do that faster, I promise you, you definitely can. So KPIs, right? You need to find what your KPIs are. And so what are KPIs? They're basically your your critical numbers that show you if your business is growing or not, right? And so some of our critical numbers that every business should have is going to be like, what's your gross revenue? What is your net profit? Like in business, you do business for one of two reasons, right? And one reason, to make money, to be profitable, to pay yourself. And the second reason is obviously to like serve the client, serve the customer, serve a purpose, solve a problem in the world right now. And if you combine those things together, your business can really blow up. And so gross revenue and net profit, those are two KPIs every single business should be tracking. There's other ones you can track, but those are kind of like the two standards. So once we have those, now we want to develop, what are our critical drivers? So what are critical drivers? These are the numbers that are the cause to the effect of your KPIs, right? So if we like, okay, I want to make $10,000 this month. Well, what are some of the activities that we need to do in order for us to hit that $10,000 this month? Okay. And so what are some critical drivers? These are things like how many leads were generated, how many calls, like how many sales calls did you get on? How many sales calls were closed? How many current clients do you have? And so these are just a few of the acquisition numbers that you can track to see where you are in relation to what are your revenue goals. Okay. You can also, in like our specific cleaning business, we actually have goals, not just for acquisition side, but we also have the same for our recruiting side. And so for us, our cleaners are like salespeople. Okay. And so how many cleaners we have, how many hours they work is going to dictate how much revenue our company can produce. So we actually track it from our cleaner standpoint as well. Like how much does it cost for us to hire a cleaner? How many cleaners are working and what are they working per day, per week? And what is our average cost per clean? What's our revenue per clean? And so these are some of the critical drivers that can really show you what are the causes of the effect of here's how much money we made at the end of the month. We made $50,000. We netted $15,000. Okay. All those KPIs were generated from our critical drivers. Okay. So that's what you need to do. You need to develop what the KPIs and the critical drivers in your specific business so you can actually start to run your business based on numbers rather than just on gut feel. Okay. Next thing in the optimized phase, and we talked about KPIs, we talked about critical drivers. The third thing we're talking about is SOPs, which are also known as standard operating procedures, or maybe it's the other way around. Who knows, right? Depends on who you talk to. So what are SOPs? SOPs are a way that you do business, okay? So you need standard operating procedures for your marketing system. You need standard operating procedures for your selling system, and you need standard operating procedures for your fulfillment system. Okay. And so this is basically a way that you do business. If you haven't read the book, The E-Myth, this is like in The E-Myth, he really talks, like he nails down this concept. If this right now doesn't make sense to you, like you need to go read The E-Myth. Michael Gerber breaks all the beliefs around why you need to have processes and systems for everything you do in your business. Even if you're the only one doing the business right now, you still need to have SOPs, standard operating procedures, or why you do things. Because when you get it out of your head and you put it on paper, you start to see a different world. You start to believe that, guess what? You're not that special. Sorry to say this, but you're not a special snowflake. You're not that creative. You're not that cool, right? Everything that you do for a reason. You do because you have a system and process. Because you don't have it on a piece of paper, you think that you're a special snowflake. You think that you're the only one who can do it. But once you start to realize that you have a system and a process and you put it on a piece of paper and like, man, I'm not that cool. Then all of a sudden you can actually delegate these things, which is going to be the next thing we talk about, to somebody else, and you actually can grow your freaking business. Okay, so that's what SOPs are for. Now, how do you actually do SOPs? This is a standard, or there's no standard way to do things, but it's basically like you want to create an operating manual that you can just hand to somebody and they can take over a specific role in your business. And so how we do this is we use lots of screen flows. We do lots of like Google Documents. We do actual live recordings. We use scripts. We do handouts. And so these are ways that you can create these SOPs, again, using all these different tools that way you can try to give the person who's going to take over a role as many resources as you possibly can so they can be successful in that role. The better you know the role, the better you can communicate the role, the better time that they're, the easier and the faster that they're going to get onboarded into that specific role. Okay. And the coolest part is then at that point, you don't become dependent on a single person because now you have the skills to onboard anybody. So you don't get handcuffed to your business by an employee who knows everything and you don't know anything. So like if they leave, then your business is screwed. But when you have the SOPs in place and you're able to plug somebody in, if they leave, if they become a terrorist, you can kick them out. And guess what? You can bring somebody else in because you have the systems to be able to teach anybody on how to do a specific role in your business. That's power. that allows your business to be around for a long time rather than you having to be dependent on a specific person. You want to be like, you're going to be dependent on people, but you don't want to be dependent on a specific person. Okay. So those are SOPs, right? Again, marketing, sales, and fulfillment. So now once you have those, the next step is actually to hand this baby off, okay? So at this point, you're going to find a manager, right? Because at the end of the day, we want to do, like, in your business, you have three roles, right? You can be an artist, which is you being the doer. So, like, when I first started my first business in 2013, I was a personal trainer, right? I was the doer. I was the artist. Next step is being a manager, right? So that's when you start to hire other trainers. I started to hire admin. Then I became the manager of the trainers. I became responsible for hiring and firing of the trainers and the admin staff. But then the next level is actually to hire a manager. So then you can become the owner, right? And when you become the owner, you are going to manage the manager. You're going to handle one person. But outside of that, you actually can focus on growing the business. You can have ideas. You can actually have things that can, you can focus on growing the business. And you can give things to the manager so that they can actually do, they can sell the staff on it. And so the doers can actually take care of the doing of the business. And then you can sit back and actually focus on the growth and see the vision, which is one of the most important roles in your business, is actually thinking. Okay. So how do you actually do the handoff? Well, you must actually think of yourself as a leader, right? You must actually think of yourself as a leader. And so how you do this is you hire somebody to take over what you're doing. So this is where all the SOPs, all that stuff, from phase number three is super, super important, because you need to have somebody who understands not just how to be a manager, but how to do in our business, how to hire a cleaner, how to hire somebody who does customer support. And the more of these things you have, the manager needs to understand all these things. Okay. And so how do you actually manage the manager? You will have a weekly meeting with your manager. Okay. This will be a one-on-one. In the beginning, it'll be you talking about the business and helping them getting on board, and they'll have tons of questions. Eventually, it's going to turn into you basically being a mentor and a coach to them, and to try to figure out their goals and how do you help them reach their goals? And so your goals need to be big enough that they can fit their goals inside of it, right? You need to have a big enough vision for your company that their goals can fit with inside your company. And that's one of the biggest problems people have in small businesses, is that they don't make their goals big enough. So all of a sudden they have this amazing manager who wants to continue to grow. And they have hit the ceiling because you stopped thinking bigger. You stopped growing. You stopped elevating yourself. And so how can anybody else continue to grow when you've basically put a ceiling on yourself? Because you, as the entrepreneur, you are the leader. You're the trailblazer. And so that's what you need to do. Now, you'll have weekly meetings with them, and you'll teach them how to have daily huddles with the team. You'll have weekly meetings with the team, and then monthly meetings as well. So these, I suggest you being on, and especially in the beginning. Eventually, when you have a really good manager, they can do all these things without you. So you actually only need to potentially have, you know, 1 to 2 meetings with your manager once a week. And then, of course, you maybe you're in communication with them throughout the week on certain things. But outside of that, they're running the company. They're the ones who are doing these daily huddles. They're the ones who are doing the weekly meetings with the team. They're doing the monthly meetings. They're the ones who are doing the hiring, the firing. They're managing the salespeople. They're managing the recruiting, the customer service, the day-to-day problems. That's what you want. Because at that point, again, it gives you the vision to grow the business. Maybe you want to do another cleaning company, a different place. Maybe you want to do a different business. Whatever it is, it just allows you the time and the freedom and the capacity to actually think and to decide what is the best next step forward to create the strategy. So these are the four steps to creating a business. Again, we have the evaluate, we have the experimentation, we have the optimization, and then we have the handoff. Those are the four ways that you're going to create any new business. And so if you got any value from this, please tag me on Instagram. I'm at Logan Lee Manzanares. Let me know that you got value from this, and share it with an entrepreneur who needs to hear it. Without further ado, I'm Logan Manzanares, and I am out. Hey, if you enjoyed this episode and you want more, go to everythinggoesmyway.com/free gift. And there, I have the most incredible free gift waiting for you. Do you want to run your business based on logic rather than emotion, based off numbers rather than feelings? Do you want to have a consistent, reliable business that runs based on data? Then go to everythinggoesmyway.com/free gift.